If anyone teaches otherwise and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, they are conceited and understand nothing. They have an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between people of corrupt mind, who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. I'll now hand it over to Rev Winston.
Right, just tore that guy. People want to stand up for a moment. We've had a long service. If you want to stand up, no, you're ready to go. Feel free to just stand up very quickly, shake it off. Let's focus now. You need to. All right, that'll do. Okay, let's see if this works. All right, here we go. All right, we're looking at 1 Timothy 6, verses 3 to 10. And if you don't have a Bible, you can QR code it, open it up in your phone. Or if you like a physical Bible, put your hand up and we can get a Bible to you. Anyone? All right. Does everyone know what FOMO is? Who here struggles with FOMO? FOMO is the fear, in case you didn't know, the fear of missing out. FOMO is essentially wanting what someone else has. It's this unease or this feeling of discontent that you're missing out on something that others are either experiencing or something that they're doing or something that they have, and You want what they're experiencing. You want what they have. And you want to be a part of it or experience what they have, right? So you don't have it, so you want it. You have this FOMO, this fear of missing out. Now, FOMO is quite a new expression, actually. It only made it into the Oxford English Dictionary in 2013, so that's only about 10 years old, right? But FOMO is harder to get away than ever before these days, I think, because we have this always on, always connected devices, always in our hands, ready to access, and we end up following all these different people on social media because of FOMO. We don't want to miss out. We don't want to miss what everybody else is into or everyone else is seeing. But everywhere we look on social media, it seems that everyone is more beautiful. They have cooler stuff. They have cooler friends. They're having more fun. And we're just surrounded by things that exacerbate our FOMO. But FOMO, actually, there's nothing really new about it. You know, Eve experienced FOMO in the garden when she saw this fruit and was tempted and thought, I don't want to miss out. I want that. I want to try that. Let me eat. And one generation later, Cain, you know, envied his brother and in his FOMO, murdered his brother. What about you? Do you struggle with FOMO? Are you content in your life, or do you often struggle and feel like you want more? What is it that you want more of? Well, in our passage today, the Apostle Paul teaches us that godliness with contentment is great gain. But in reality, we often aren't that content. Contentment Contentment is often a neglected virtue. In fact, the world is often teaching us that it's not a virtue at all. In fact, discontent is the virtue. If you pay attention to the self-help books and the thousands of motivational videos on YouTube, they're teaching us, don't be content. Be discontent. Have more. Chase more. Achieve more. Achieve all that you have ever dreamed of. Chase after it. Be discontent with what you have now and have more. That's what the world is preaching to us. It places a high value not on contentment, but on worldly success, on having more possessions, having more wealth. Every day we're bombarded by marketing images that aim to stir up our discontent, that present the situation that you're missing out. It aims to increase your desire to have more, to have this, have that. And these things hold so much promise to make your life better, make your life happier. And this is why contentment is such a challenge for us today. We find it hard to be content because perhaps we don't want to be content. We actually don't value contentment. We actually want more stuff. So as we look at this passage this morning, I think we really need to reflect on what we're discontent about in life. What do we want more about? And really be honest before God. So I want to ask you, like, what are the things that you're chasing in life? And why do you chase them? What's stirring your heart to go after these things? What do you want more of in life? As we come to God's word this morning, I want us to really reflect, bring our heart's desires before God, and ask God to really search our hearts, search our motivations, our desires. Why do we often feel discontent and chase after things? So with that in mind, let's pray. Let's pray and bring this before God. Lord, we bring our hearts before you, the desires of our hearts. You know what they are. Much of it, Lord, are desires of this world, what this world has to offer. Lord, we lay it bare before you, Lord. We ask, God, that you'll come, speak to us, teach us, Lord. Renew our minds and transform our hearts, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so my sermon today, there's 3 points. If you want an outline, you can write it down. It's going to be gone soon. So first point, where contentment is not found, verses 3 to 5. Where contentment is found, verses 6 to 8. And the danger of discontentment, verses 9 to 10. Last chance. Come and ask me later if you need to. So where is contentment found? Verses 3 to 5 shows us where contentment is not found. And Paul refers once again here to the false teachers that are in the Ephesian church. People who don't agree with the sound teaching of Jesus and they are not content. They're conceited. In other words, they're proud and they don't understand the truth, Paul says. They teach what is contrary to sound, the sound teaching of Christ. And in so doing, they lead people astray. And look at the damage that they cause. They cause all sorts of problems in the church. Controversy, quarrels, leading to envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction in the community. They rob the people of truth, and they bring about discontent in people, in the church community. And did you notice what Paul says at the end of verse 5? These people have been led astray, and they think that godliness is a means to financial gain. This false teaching has led people to a place of discontentment. The goal of godliness in their eyes is financial gain. But think about what godliness is. That should never be the goal of godliness. Financial gain should never be the goal of godliness. And yet, here we are back in Paul's day. People were led to believe that this was the way. Godliness was a means to financial gain. It's shocking, right, to think that that could be the case. But guess what? That sort of a teaching is actually still pretty rampant in today's world. You know, many so-called Christian churches preach this sort of a gospel where they want to expound this so-called gospel that, you know, if you believe in God, if you're faithful to God, God's going to bless you. God's going to make your life better. God wants you to have more. God wants you to be rich. All you got to do is believe, be faithful, and God will bless you. It's a message that you might know. It's commonly called the prosperity gospel. And the message is coming out of lots of churches still all around the world. But it's false. It's a lie. And I want to be very clear here. Don't be compelled by this so-called gospel, this false gospel, this prosperity gospel. It's actually so dangerous. And it's so dangerous because it sounds so attractive, doesn't it? That you can have God and you can have wealth. You can have more. You can have God and you can have the world. And isn't that what we want? I mean, if it's true though, then what are we really chasing? Are you tempted by such a gospel? Maybe not. Maybe you're quick to identify the prosperity gospel when you visit a church and you hear it and you go, oh, that's the prosperity gospel right there. I gotta make sure I don't believe this lie. You might be quick to do that, but let me ask you, do you serve God for what you think you will get out of him in life? Why do you serve God? What's the reason? What's your motivation for serving God? Or do you serve God maybe because you think you can get something out of him? Or really because you're serving God just because he's God? You know, I've got to be honest. I sometimes really struggle with this. You know, I would say, I can honestly say to you all that when I entered into the ministry, when I gave up my job and went to Bible college, I really had a pure motive. I really wanted to serve God. I really wanted to proclaim Christ to people. But I got to be honest with you, over the years, that I've struggled with that over the years. And let me share a story with you. Like, in my last ministry job before CCC, I was in a small church, and I was growing this church slowly, and it was growing. I praise God for that. I felt positive. I felt good. Oh, God is using me to grow this church. But then after a while, the growth just slowed down and kind of plateaued. And it plateaued for a while, and I became discontented. And I started to think that maybe it's better to go and work, because my friend told me about an opening in his church, and he was, you know, he planted this church, this hipster church, and it was growing very successfully. It was like, you know, pretty much growing at 50% every single year, year on year, and they needed more staff. And I heard about it, and I was discontented with where I was, and I thought maybe I should go. Maybe I should say yes to my friend, because, and I had to check myself. Now, what is it that I'm really serving God for here? What am I chasing? Am I serving God for God, or am I serving God because I want something for myself? Why do we serve? What are we really chasing in life? So let's be honest. We human beings are inherently selfish and self-seeking, and we do it all the time. We're like that all the time. And so really, let's be honest with God, okay? Let's really bring our heart to God. Ask God to search us. Like, why do we do the things we do? So, contentment is not found in wanting more. So where is contentment found? Paul tells us in verse 6 that contentment, well, it's actually great gain. Think about it. It's actually the reverse of what the world teaches. Did you notice that there is a difference in the value system between the false teachers and what Paul teaches? The false teachers say godliness is a means to financial gain. But what does Paul say is gain in these verses? And he says that what is great gain is godliness with contentment. That is great gain. That's what is truly valuable. When we have more money, is that gain? When we have more stuff, is that gain? Let's be honest. We all want more. And we think by having more, that is gain. And that's why a lot of us, you know, invest and buy more property and buy more shares and have more things, and we think that's gain. That's the world. But Paul says that is not gain. But gain is godliness with contentment. Let's get it the right way. What has value according to God? What has value? What is true gain? It's not having more, but contentment. That is gain. When we know God and when we walk with God, when we enjoy God, then we realize that all we need is Christ. That having Him, well, that is enough. To know that having Jesus is enough, well, that is true gain. That is great gain. Godliness is not a means to financial gain, but godliness with contentment, that is great gain. And so Paul says to us to have some perspective. And so look in your Bibles, verse 7, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it, he says. Let's have the right perspective, Paul's teaching. Think about all the wealth and all the material things that you have now or your family has now, and compare it with what you started with. And Paul says, remember, you started with nothing. You came into the world with nothing. You came into the world naked. You had nothing. Possessions-wise, you had nothing. And guess what we leave the world with? Nothing. That is, from beginning to end, you come with nothing, and you'll leave with nothing. So what should be the goal of life? Think about that for a moment. What should be the goal of life? If you're going to leave the world with nothing, do you think the goal of life is to accumulate more? To have more stuff? To have more money? But Paul says, if you have food and clothing, be content with what you have. Why? Because the goal of life isn't to gain more stuff. Because you're going to leave with not more stuff, you're going to leave with nothing. So don't make that the goal of your life. You're not going to take anything with you to the other side. Not more money, not more possessions. That is not the key to life. But Paul says, godliness with contentment, that is great gain. So, contentment is, right there, focusing not on what you don't have, which we often do. We want more, we want more, we want more, because we don't have. We have FOMO. But what is contentment? It's actually appreciating that all that you have is Christ, and that's all that you need, and He is sufficient. And I love Paul Tripp's, one of his most famous quotes, his sayings, is that God is most glorified when we are most satisfied in Jesus. God is most glorified when we're most satisfied in Jesus. When we really believe in our heart of hearts that all we need is Jesus, God is most glorified. And so with that in mind, there's this two-part challenge that we all have. To truly accept these two things. This is a challenge for all of us. To truly accept these two things and believe these two things. That I don't need more money or possessions in order to make me happy. To truly believe that. And secondly, if I have Christ, He is all that I need. So this is the challenge for all of us, to truly accept and believe this. It's a challenge, isn't it? It's a massive paradigm shift from what the world is preaching to us to how we might normally think. And the key is the second part, is to really believe that if I have Christ, I don't need anything else, right? I don't need more money. I don't need more possessions. And it's the second one that helps us believe the first one. That is the key. They both go hand in hand. Contentment is when we believe those two things. If truly I have Christ in my life and the cross is real, and He died for my sins, and He rose from the dead, and He's made a way for me to leave this world with nothing but to gain everything when I get to heaven. That is enough. Even if I were to die this day, if I have Christ, I need nothing else. I wonder if you really have this paradigm at the heart of your life. Let's bring it before God, because everything else pales into insignificance compared to Jesus. When we really have Jesus, then we really need nothing else. It reminds me of the famous hymn, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." And there's a line in that song, "And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace." It's so true, isn't it? In the light of His glory and grace, when we have Jesus, then everything else in this world, all the shiny things of this world, will grow dim. They're not shiny anymore, because the shiniest thing is Jesus. His glory, His light is all that we need. So is Christ all that you need? Is He enough for you? You know, it's sad that I know some friends that I discipled at some stages, different stages of my life, and I would say most of them were so fervent for God. They set their hearts on growing in Christ and making Christ known, and I could see this zeal for God. But then when they entered into the workforce, they got a well-paying job. And I told some of these friends, like, be careful, guys, be careful. But then they said, nah, don't worry, I got this, you know. I got this, I'm okay, I've got God. And I warned them, be careful. But they said, nah, don't worry, I got this. I still love God. It's okay. But then I watched how money changed their life. And how over time, they tried to make both juggle it, but then what happened? Soon, they had two masters. God was a master, but their money was a master in their life. They didn't really know what was going on. And then over time, God became less and money became more. And money was the true master. And money took them away from God and took them away from church. And it's so sad to see that money stole their faith away. So that leads me to the third point of the sermon. And that is, the danger of discontentment, verses 9 to 10. There is great danger when we don't find our contentment in Jesus, when we're still discontent with life and the things that this world has to offer. And so Paul warns us, if you look in your Bibles, the danger. There is this great danger when our desire is to have more, when our desire is to become rich, the desire is to have more money. So listen to what Paul says, verse 9. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Notice that Paul does not say that this, you know, this is a possibility for those that want to become rich. But this is what's going to happen. This is a spiritual truth for people that pursue wealth. This is not just like, I've seen it in my friends. They were happy to pursue wealth and it took them away from God. So Paul's saying, be careful. If you keep chasing money, it's going to steal your faith away. It's going to be destructive. There's traps, these harmful desires, and you're heading down this path that's going to be destruction and ruin, Paul says. And so shouldn't we run away from that discontentment, from that desire for more? So godliness with contentment is critical, because if we don't reach that contentment in God, the danger is right around the corner, ready to steal our faith away. So what are we really chasing in life? What do we want more of, really? What do we value as great gain? What happens? Paul explains it in verse 10. When we keep chasing money, what happens? For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Money, well, let's think about money. Notice that he's not saying that money in and of itself is the root of all evil, but it's the love of money, the desire for more money. That's the root of all kinds of evil. So money in and of itself, that's not the evil, but what you think about money, what you value about money, the chasing of more money, the desire for more money, that is what leads to all kinds of evil and as Paul says, endangers your faith. Many have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. That is the ultimate result. Wandering from the faith, pierced with many griefs. So friends, remember that godliness with contentment, that is great gain. And discontentment, well, that is going to lead to great grief. So pay attention to the danger. So how do we get to this contentment that is so important? As I said before, the issue is not about, you know, how we should deal with our possessions. You know, I'll just stoically try and be more content and not want more, and I'll just change my heart. Well, that's not so simple, is it? Because the issue is a matter of the heart. It's a spiritual issue. We can't just will ourselves and just say, look, that Porsche that's driving by, you know, oh, gee, I'm getting all this FOMO now. But like, it is a spiritual issue. It's not just this matter of like will, but a real spiritual issue. And in order for us to change our paradigm, our mindset about things and wealth and money, it's a spiritual issue. And we need renewal of our mind. We need transformation of our lives, our hearts. And so in order for a spiritual issue to transform so that we think differently, we have a different mindset, we truly realize what has great value and what is true gain, well, we need to walk with God, don't we? We need to lean into God. We need to be praying. We need to be in God's word. We need to be weighing up what has value with God every day and saying, God, teach me. Show me what I should be grateful for. Show me what has true value. Fix my eyes on what is true treasure, Lord. Otherwise, I'll be trapped. I'll be lost and drawn away and wandering from my faith, heading down grief. So Paul and God says to us, lean into God. Find your contentment in my Son, whom I sent to die on a cross for you, for your sins, to open a new way of thinking, to open a new life, a new relationship, where you know who God is, the creator of your life, who has redeemed you by the blood of his Son, and is preparing a future for you, where you will want for nothing else, when you will have him, and you'll realize that he is all that you ever needed. And we can only get there and find contentment in this life when we're walking with him every day of our life. When we're pursuing him because we realize that he is the only treasure that we need. So with that in mind, I want to invite you all now just to search your hearts. I'm going to pause for a moment. Whatever you're chasing in life, whatever you've been discontent about, I want to invite you to bring that privately to God. And then I'm going to pray. Father God, we come before you and we confess that often things of this world stir up the desires of our hearts and cause us to take our eyes off your Son Jesus and we're tempted, Lord, to believe that joy, true joy and happiness is found in things of this world. Lord, we bring all these things before you. And we pray that we'll nail all these things to the cross, where your Son Jesus died for it, for all these things. And help us to realize that Christ is all that we need. Help us, Lord, to walk with you, to find our true joy in you every single day of our lives, Lord, and to truly realize that your Son is all that we need. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to invite you now just to, if you feel comfortable, to